én kofferidem jeszcze zaj. Chyba ty samą stanę, mam ty się dołu wychodnikę, nie? Tam dole są rata, patrera, nie? I nie sprzyjmy tam, tam wprzem rata, pan jedziesz. Patrę dole zagledam, zagledam Madonna, ten oszła.
Rys.
I był palnie, mlad, mlad, i to ty sił. Сил не та німські очай, чорні батони. Проти став права вовк. Красно.
Радійські згодби о людях, які створюють дух часу на радіо студент.
Spoštovane poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lep pozdrav v podaji Zeitgeist. Tokrat nadaljujemo z poročanjem o dogajanju na konferenci v Kopenhagnu, podnebni konferenci. Tokrat z vidika lobiranja na konferenci naša sogovornica je Helen Burley iz organizacije Corporate Europe Observatory, organizacija, ki opazuje, analizira delovanje korporacij doma v Evropi in pa njihov učinek na politiko oziroma politične odločitve. Kakšna se je Helen Burley zdela letošnja podnebna konferenca v Kopenhagnu, nam bo povedala na začetku.
It certainly seems that business has found, politicians who are sympathetic to the sort of the market solutions and business-friendly solutions have been very open to listening to business and taking their suggestions, and sort of almost handing over sorting out the problem to business in a way that will make money, whereas actually their main priority should be surely sorting out the problem.
Lobisti so se že znašli v vseh skupinah. Ne obstajajo več zgolj lobisti, ampak so se uspeli, ne samo letos, ampak v preteklih letih, doslej pa najbolje, pomešati med skupine, ki naj bi predstavljale akademsko sfero, naj se bo določene univerze ali pa neodvisne inštitucije. Najvišje, kar pa jim je uspelo, doseči je recimo skupina 3C, boj proti podnebnim spremembam, Combat Climate Change, skupina, ki deluje na svetovni ravni, sestavljena pa je iz večjih naftnih in drugih industrij, naj se bo Statoil Hydro, Gazprom, pa farmacevtski Bayer, pa BP. Ustanovitelj tega pa je Vattenfall, švedska naftna industrija, korporacija in njen direktor, gospod Lars Josefsson, je med drugim postal svetovalec sekretarja Združenih narodov Ban Ki-moona za energijo in podnebne spremembe. V kolikšni meri so se lobisti uspeli spraviti na pozicije, ki se ne pritičejo lobistov, ampak tistih skupin, ki naj bi se odločevale, nam bo še povedala gospa Burley.
There are the official lobbying bodies who are clear to spot, and then there are industry representatives who are scattered throughout different places, and I think they're seeking every opportunity they can to influence the process, and they are working at quite a high level, as you say. the chief exec from Vattenfall advises Ban Ki-moon. So they've become very much part of the process within the UN talks, which means they're incredibly influential in setting the agenda and helping influence what is considered to be a solution to tackling climate change.
Skupine lobistov so bile iz vseh kotov sveta, največ seveda iz zahodnega. Te so predstavljale najsebo ideje letalske industrije, pa seveda tiste, ki se bori za obstanek in pa še lažji potek privatizacije podnebja, predvsem trgovanje z ogljikovimi izpusti. Koliko je bilo lobistov, koliko jih je predstavljalo posamezne skupine?
You can count the number of lobbyists if you've got lots of time on your hands, because everybody has to register. And if you know all the different organizations involved, you can see the biggest business lobby there was in Copenhagen was from the International Emissions Trading Association, who trade in carbon, and they had 486 people at the talks. That's more than some of the government delegations.
Delo lobistov je bilo težko, a po besedah Hrljeve so dosegli malo, še to, kar pa so dosegli, oziroma malo, dosegli so status quo, kar je za njih več kot dovolj. Vsekakor pa je po njenem mnenju bilo dosti časa in denarja so strani lobistov stran pometanega, saj naj bi določene države, že same, brez potreb lobistov, delovale v njihov prid.
I think what is very clear is that there was a commitment within the talks to continue with carbon trading and continue with the clean development mechanism as a solution, which and to allow countries in Europe to offset their emissions in the developing world. And that is certainly an issue that has been lobbied on very, very heavily. And there are people who would suggest that that isn't a useful way forward because it's very difficult to prove the level of emission cuts achieved through carbon trading. It's very difficult, and also through the clean development mechanism, it's very difficult to show that a supposedly clean project in the developing world is actually a real carbon saving or wouldn't have happened anyway without a European country or European corporation investing its money in it. And that was the whole idea, is that this was a way of getting extra carbon cuts, whereas actually maybe these are cuts that would have been achieved anyway because a lot of in countries like China are looking at clean technologies anyway and are encouraging their development. So it's quite likely they'd have gone down that road without the extra money coming from Europe. And it allows business in Europe to carry on polluting at home and while paying for somebody else to develop a clean project overseas.
Helen Burley je prav tako organizirala javni zbor najbolj nagnusnega, najbolj ljudem neprijaznega lobista na konferenci in to ime, ta organizacija je po mnenju več 10 tisoč glasovalcev Monsanto, ki prav tako vidi v podnebnih diskusijah prostor za sebe, saj naj bi za svojo politiko monokultur, sestavljeno iz gensko, genetsko spremenjenih organizmov, s tem tudi sami podali rešitev k zmanjševanju toplogrednih izpustov in zaradi tega bi morali biti seveda soudeleženi pri razdelitvi torte in pa financ, ki bodo šli podjetjem, ki se trudijo za boljši jutri. Torej Monsanto je bil izbran za najslabšega oziroma zmagovalca med najslabšimi. Nagrado jim je dodelila Naomi Klein, čeprav seveda njih ni bilo na podelitvi. Zakaj Monsanto in kdo drug se še nahaja med tam slabšimi, nam bo povedala Barljeva.
Monsanto were a very strong candidate because they've been lobbying for years to have genetically modified crops considered climate friendly, and I think a lot of people consider that to be absolutely outrageous that such an environmentally damaging crop should be promoted as something as being good for the climate. So I think that's why they won the popular vote, because it's so shocking that they should be involved in the process in this way. But the other candidates for the Angry Mermaid Award were also very good candidates as well. So I would struggle to pick my favorite, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. How about the zero emissions platform? Their engagement in the process is also quite influential.
Yes. And that is a particularly disturbing group in the sense that this is something that was actually established by the European Commission. It receives funding from the European Commission, so that's public money, and it's using this money to lobby for what it considers to be climate-friendly solutions, and particularly for carbon capture and storage. And I think a lot of people outside of industry would question whether that's actually the right way public money to be spent. There are two issues raised, really. The fact that public money is being used to fund this body and for them to have representatives in Copenhagen, and that's a big question in its own right. But there's also how they've managed to influence the European Commission to succeed in getting lots of funding to help develop carbon capture and storage. And this, I mean, you have companies, Shell, for example, who are involved in the zero emissions platform, have been very active in calling for carbon capture and storage, so that they can continue to pollute and continue to sort of burn fossil fuels, and then hopefully capture the carbon dioxide and deal with it later. Shell has been very vociferous in calling for this, but. And they've also been calling for immediate emission cuts through some of the more progressive coalitions that they're part of. And Shell want to appear to be climate friendly, but they're actually promoting a technology that is not going to be available until at least 2020.
Mm-hmm. Until the deadline is we should have cut at least 20%.
Yes, indeed. And if you listen to many of the scientists who work on climate change, they say that we really need emissions to peak in the next four to five years. So, you know, developing a technology now that might be commercially available by the middle of the next decade is not really a solution to climate change.
But what Zero Emissions Platform is probably trying to achieve is to get financial aid for developing this commercial scale of industry that would
That's
be capable,
right, yeah.
And probably this would be lucrative for the Chinese market as well.
Indeed, yes. I mean, they see a huge potential market for this, and Shell, I think, holds some of the patents for developing the technology, so they have a lot to gain by pushing this. But it doesn't really fit in with the more public message they have that they would like to see urgent emission cuts, and it doesn't help deal with the very, very urgent problem of actually tackling climate change.
Down, ride on a horse on a merry-go-round.
Ena izmed vzhajajočih industrij pri reševanju podnebja je geoinženiring. Ta obljublja, vsaj znanstveniki, ki ga podpirajo, in firme, ki se izmišljujejo patente. Torej, ta industrija se hvali, da lahko reši vse stranske učinke sodobnega življenja. Pred kratkim je Bill Gates, ki se sedaj ukvarja s podnebjem, patentiral patent skupaj z parmi znanstveniki, ki naj bi rešil jugovzhodni del Združenih držav Amerike pred tornadi, orkani in podobno. Leti naj bi uničil, ampak kot za večino, oziroma pravično bi bilo rečeno, reči vse take poskuse geoinženiringa, so tudi tu druga mnenja. Recimo, uničevanje tornadov bi pomenilo, da se tropski del zemlje ne bi mogel ohlajati in bi seveda, če bi se to delalo, konstantno prišlo do takega pritiska, da bi čez Ameriko prišel nek tornado, ki bi dvignil še skorjo zemlje, ne le streh njihovih hiš. Koliko so bili na tokratni konferenci prisotni lobisti, ki podpirajo geoinženiring, naša sogovornica iz European Corporate Observatorija, Helen Burley?
There were lots of events in Copenhagen where people were promoting geoengineering solutions and trying to persuade the people at the conference that this was a good solution. And I mean, geoengineering covers a very wide spectrum of different technologies, some of them more extreme than others. But I think there's an awful lot of science and research needed to show that any of these are going to actually be beneficial rather than damaging to the environment. I think a lot of people are kind of clutching at these technologies as a way out, when actually the way out is really quite simple. We need to cut our carbon emissions, and that means using less fossil fuel energy.
Kaj pa so sploh dosegli na letošnji konferenci, še za na konec?
Negotiations are continuing on a twin-track process. There's kind of no real movement forward. Some tiny decisions have been made. The big sort of initiative from Obama, which was this kind of meaningless document, the Copenhagen Accord, wasn't adopted by the conference. It was only noted. So I think if there is any progress at all, it's the fact that there is some money now available for the very poorest countries to help them cope with the impacts of climate change.
Toliko o klimatu, o podnebnih spremembah za danes. Torej tudi tistih malo sprememb, ki naj bi jih bilo, kot je na koncu povedala Hrljeva, bo verjetno, če bodo lobisti še nadalje uspešni, kaj saj dolg pogovori še kar potekajo na različnih frontah, bodo tudi te razvoj čistih energij ostal v domeni prvega sveta, ta naj bi jih financiral v tretjem svetu. Korporacije iz prvega pa naj bi jih razvijale in si, če bodo uspešne, tudi lastile. Z vami sem bil Matej, lep pozdrav.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samostani, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne? Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne? In jaz pridem tam, pa premrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno šo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in tudi siv, ne ta nemški občalnik, ne, črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.